as we mentioned, there's been some pretty dramatic changes within the dairy industry and, well, certainly some suggested changes. So-called milk wars reaching an end for some, but causing lots of headaches for others. Good morning, Marty McCarthy.
G'day, Ed.
So tell me more about this whole dollar a litre milk thing that really exploded in the last week.
Anyone who's ever spoken to a dairy farmer about a dollar a litre milk knows exactly how contentious this issue can be for them and has been over the past 8 years that it's been around. Woolworths announced this week it would end that price structure, which dairy farmers have long said is the cause of much of their financial struggles and stress as well. So it's now charging consumers $1.10 per litre, and they say that extra money will go directly towards the farmers. Here's what Woolworths Group Chief Executive Brad Banducci had to say.
It's clearly not going to solve the current challenges we have out in the dairy industry, but hopefully it will be seen for what it is, a step forward, and hopefully we look forward to working with our partners to make many more steps forward in the future. Approximately $30 million of additional funds will go directly back to farmers at the farm gate through a mechanic that we've had in place for the last couple of months and we're comfortable now extending across the whole of Australia.
The decision follows an East Coast trial of drought relief milk sales, which saw 50% of consumers willing to pay more to help farmers. So they used that to get a bit of an indication as to how this announcement would go. Many farmers, of course, would like to see the figure back around $2 a litre. But nonetheless, the Australian Dairy Farmers Association has called this move a game changer and a step in the right direction.
Now, we heard Agriculture Minister David Littleproud having a bit of a serve at the start of the program there, because it didn't take long for both he and the rest of the industry to take aim at the other supermarkets like Coles and Aldi.
Yeah, give them an inch and they'll take a mile. They certainly have in this case. Those supermarkets have refused to increase their price. They say they do have other initiatives in place to support farmers, and that's why they're not doing this. But those announcements then led to this interesting intervention by the Agriculture Minister, David Littleproud, basically calling on consumers to boycott Coles and Aldi. Mr. Littleproud himself has $700 worth of shares in Woolworths, which made the issue even more perplexing. So the federal opposition ripped into him for that, saying he had a conflict of interest. He then kind of backtracked a bit on that and said, well, I'll sell the shares. And so he sold those $700 worth of shares and has continued to keep pressuring these supermarkets. And he's not the only one who's doing that. A local Norco milk supplier is also disgusted with the response from Coles, to the point that he said he'll break his contract with the dairy cooperative. Paul Weir is a fourth generation dairy farmer. He says that after 145 years of his family business, he'd rather close the dairy down than continue being treated as a beggar by Coles.
Angry, yeah, very angry. Full credit to Woolworths for doing it, but Coles, yeah, words can't describe how angry and disappointed we are with Coles' stand.
Dairy farmer Paul Weir there. Now, he supplies milk to the dairy processor Norco, which in turn has contracts with Coles supermarkets. Marty, the dairy industry could be set for an even further shake-up.
Yeah, that's right. It's not over. The Federal Labor Party this week said if it forms government later this year, it will ask the ACCC to investigate a floor price for the dairy industry. Almost 20 years ago, the dairy industry was tipped upside down when a floor price for milk was removed, allowing the free market to decide how much dairy farmers should be paid for their milk. Joel Fitzgibbon, the opposition agriculture spokesman, says farmers need to be paid more than the cost of production.
Well, I've come to the conclusion, Michael, that not only is the dairy industry in trouble, it's past time we had some government intervention. The whole industry is in trouble. This is not a war between dairy farmers and processors, for example. Processors aren't making money either. So farmers are losing money, processors are struggling, and the retailers are choosing not to make money from milk as part of their marketing campaign.
Federal Labor's Joel Fitzgibbon speaking with Michael Rowland on News Breakfast earlier in the week. Now, the federal government has labelled Labor's proposal as harebrained. We're going to take a bit of a deep dive into all of this. Where does your dollar go when you buy a litre of milk? A bit later in the show. But moving on, Marty, the Murray-Darling Basin Authority has officially responded to South Australia's Royal Commission into the river system, rejecting some of the inquiry's core claims.
Yeah, that's right, Ed. Commissioner Brett Walker SC handed down his final report 3 weeks ago, making 111 findings and 44 recommendations in what was a pretty massive document, 746 pages, which I think was more than the Banking Royal Commission, actually. But the report contained a scathing critique of the current basin plan and the Murray-Darling Basin Authority itself, accusing it of gross maladministration, negligence and unlawful actions. It found the Sustainable Diversion Limit, or SDL, which is the amount of water to be removed from irrigation and returned to the environment, was influenced by politics rather than scientific evidence. So that was a pretty big claim in that report a few weeks ago. In response to all of this week, the Murray-Darling Basin Authority said the Royal Commission was effectively proposing, and this was a quote, abandoning the basin plan and starting again. This would be a reckless act, it said, setting back progress towards a healthy and sustainable basin and causing substantial uncertainty for basin communities. The MDBA also said it relied on the federal government's legal advice and fiercely rejected claims it had acted improperly. The South Australian government, where the Royal Commission was held and started up by, is yet to provide its official response to the Royal Commission. So we'll keep waiting for that one as well.
Now, 2018 was a disastrous year for a lot of Australia's grain growers, perhaps excluding just parts of Western Australia, but that's official.
It is now. So Australia's government commodity forecaster, ABARES, has confirmed what farmers throughout eastern states know all too well already. That's that grain production in 2018 was pretty woeful. The latest national crop report from ABARES shows a drop in winter crop production of 20% to 30.4 million tonnes. A critical lack of rain in the eastern states during the growing season meant many crops just ran out of moisture. Some farmers didn't even bother actually getting their harvesters out at all, while large areas of crop were cut for hay or used to graze livestock. And then, Ed, on some of my own drought travels last year, I saw a lot of crops that had just been abandoned in fields. So a lot of farmers, particularly in the east, struggled through 2018. But if we look at the numbers in New South Wales, production fell by 60%. That was the biggest. 51% in Victoria and Queensland, and 24% in South Australia. The only real winner, the lucky one, was Western Australia. It actually had an increase of 21%. Peter Collins, a senior economist from ABARES, says summer crop production, like cotton, sorghum and rice, is also expected to drop.
Being so dry, it's meant that a lot of the late season planting of summer crops, especially for grain sorghum, you see in places like central Queensland, well, a lot of that hasn't taken place because there's just no soil moisture and the weather forecast, the outlook is not fantastic either.
Some bad news there, but some good news if you're a fan of one of Australia's most loved summer fruits.
Yeah, that's right, Ed. There's only a few weeks left to Australia's mango season, so rush to the shops now if you want to get your last juicy lot of mangoes in for the season. While the official numbers won't be available for a few more months, the mango industry is confident that it's produced its second biggest crop on record. Australian Mango Industry Association CEO Robert Gray says it's still too early to tell which region will take the crown as the nation's biggest mango producer.
Yeah, it's looking like we're going to have excess of 10 million trays. So that'll bring us into our second biggest mango season we've ever had. Still a little bit early to put the final number out there. We've got, you know, growers in Mareeba and down in Gingin in Western Australia still picking. The Northern Territory's vying with Queensland as to whether they'll be more than 50 or not. So it really, we'll have to wait for a few more weeks before we can make that call. Yeah, it's been exciting times in the industry.
Yes, the tension is palpable. Now, one of the most hated things, frankly, in the lunchbox at school was the revolting flowery apple. Marty, can we kiss it goodbye?
Yeah, potentially, especially if you're shopping in WA. Everyone knows what it's like to bite into a soft apple or a sour one. You can always just tell when that taste is a bit off. But the West Australian, rather, apple industry is collaborating to put an end to flowery apples, introducing minimum maturity standards for the fruit. That's something that the citrus and grape industry have already done, have done that for a while. So they're copying their kind of model. It's hoped to bring more sales to the struggling industry, which is facing stiff competition from other fresh fruits and increasing costs of production. Harvey Giblett is an apple grower in Manjimup in the southwest of Western Australia. He says a minimum maturity standard is needed because a bad apple eating experience for consumers can be pretty costly for the industry overall.
If a consumer buys one of them, they won't buy for 6 weeks again. So that affects everyone in the apple industry. So we are trying to make it so that everyone's on the same page.
Or just share it with your horse if you have one.
Yeah.
That's an option.
No more bad apples.
No, indeed. Thanks, Marty.
No worries, Ed.
Marty McCarthy there with this week's Rural News. If you want to read a bit more about any of those stories, just head to the RN homepage and find A Country Breakfast.